It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.
Aisle, paid for by Sheer Science.
Upstate.
WFBC HD3 Greenville. W249PL Greenville. W246CD Spartanburg. W2CXDL Andersonville.
Upstate.
And Odyssey Sports Station.
In this world, there's one man who refuses to follow the script.
We have rules here, you know that. And if you don't follow the rules, then what are we?
One man stands tall in the face of adversity.
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
A man who rises above the ashes of hot takes.
What do you care what they say? Easy for you to say they don't love you. It's just noise, man. You're really good at it. You might be great.
That man is Nick Kostos. And this is You Better You Bet.
If loving sports is wrong, I don't want to be right.
Where narratives are challenged and the truth is spoken.
I told you what was going to happen last week. If you didn't listen, that's on you.
This isn't talk. It's perspective.
It's not what you look at that matters. It's what you see.
This is You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
What's up, everybody? Happy and merry, tremendous Sports Thursday to you and yours. This is You Better You Bet with Nick Kostos on Westwood One Sports, as we bring you the fastest show in all of sports. The show presented today and always by BetMGM. Make it legendary by downloading the BetMGM app and visiting BetMGM.com. And on this Thursday morning, the world of sports is buzzing. And we are going to get to all the big stories, including what the hell is going on with the San Francisco 49ers. We're just going to do this again this year in San Francisco. Just players dropping like flies. No big deal. Just injuries to a bunch of key players again for the 49ers. We will detail all of it and an injury-riddled Wednesday at NFL training camps later this hour on the show. We'll get into college football as well. Big Ten media days continue on in Chicago, and I've got a potential sleeper or two or three for you in the Big Ten. Can't wait to talk some college football later in the program. And why Tarik Skubal's start yesterday in Detroit against the Orioles will almost certainly be his final start as a Detroit Tiger, and why Hollywood couldn't have scripted the ending any more perfectly. Our bets for tonight will close the show. Had a lot of fun last night with my Yankees against Bill Zimmerman's White Sox. Yankees -1.5. Take an early 4-0 lead. First inning, Spencer Jones. Spencer Jones and me. 3-run homer. Up 4-0. And they just give it up. No big deal. And then just a brain-dead play by Sanchez, the backup catcher, allows the White Sox to win the game. And Aaron Boone after the game, you're going to be shocked. I know that you're not going to believe this, but Aaron Boone didn't have a problem with that play. When we are going to play the audio for you of the Yankees broadcast, and then we're going to play Aaron Boone's brain-dead commentary. I would say you can't make this stuff up, but it would actually be more surprising if he told the truth after these games, instead of lying through his teeth like he always does. Can you tell that A, I'm a Yankee fan, and B, I had money on the game? We'll attempt to do better at the end of the show. Bets for tonight will close it out in the final hour, Power Hour. 310-840-4910 is the number. YouTube.com/@thekostos, THEKOSTOS. You can follow me, your boy, Nick Kostos, on all social media platforms, @thekostos, THEKOSTOS. But we officially begin the tremendous Sports Thursday edition of You Better You Bet with a big deal in the Big Apple. And when I say the Big Apple, I mean the Greenbrier in West Virginia. We're close enough. Where the New York Football Giants are holding their 2026 training camp, the first under the stewardship of new head coach John Harbaugh. And yes, a lot of people think John Harbaugh might have embarrassed himself with that speech that he gave that went viral. We are the New York Football Giants. Got zero reaction from anyone on the team, anyone in that conference room. To which I say, honestly, you can criticize John Harbaugh. No question about it. I'm not convinced he's going to be this awesome head coach. I think he kind of lost his fastball the last couple years in Baltimore, even if I think he's a good leader and can raise the floor of the team. To me, I thought the message was great. How great is it to be a New York Football Giant? Not his fault that no one responds to him in those moments. But this is not about John Harbaugh. No. This is about day one of New York Football Giants training camp, day one of practices, number one is on the field. And number one for the New York Football Giants, wide receiver one for the New York Football Giants. That, of course, is Malik Nabers. And I'll be candid with everybody, right? I'm always honest with you about my fandom. As the Knicks are streaking towards an NBA championship, as Aaron Boone infuriates me on a nightly basis. When I saw, as a lifelong diehard fan of the New York Football Giants, Malik Nabers, and we knew he wasn't going to be placed on PUP. We knew that. It kind of seemed like it didn't necessarily mean anything. Maybe he still won't be ready for the start of the season. But then we get the practice video, right, yesterday. And Nabers is running, and he's cutting, and he's catching, coming off that horrific injury that he suffered in week four last season. Not just a torn ACL for Malik Nabers, but a torn lateral meniscus, an injury that has obviously caused him a ton of issues this offseason, had a second cleanup procedure. And where there was once pessimism as it regards Malik Nabers and his availability, not just for week one, Sunday night, September 13th at home against the Dallas Cowboys, but for the beginning of the season. And I think fair questions to ask were, is Nabers going to be himself for this entire year for the Giants? Where there was once pessimism, there now has to be optimism. And I'm just going to read a couple quotes from a couple NFL reporters. ESPN's Jordan Renan, who covers the Giants for ESPN. Quote, this bodes well for Nabers in week one. ESPN's Adam Schefter, Nabers, quote, tracking to play on opening night. Connor Hughes, who covers the Giants for our friends at SNY locally here in New York. Realistic expectation that Nabers plays in week one. Forgive the pun. It's gigantic for the Giants. It's everything for the New York Football Giants to have Malik Nabers in the lineup. Now, obviously, you need Nabers to be Nabers. You need him to be what he was prior to the injury. It can't be 80% Malik Nabers. It can't be Nabers is kind of finding his footing for the first half of the season. And then second half of the season, you get full on Malik Nabers. Because if that's the case, the 2026 New York Football Giants are sunk. They are absolutely sunk. Malik Nabers, whether you think he might be, because look, he drops some passes sometimes. He can be a little inconsistent, right? And I know that there are some people that are annoyed by that. And a lot of them are Giants fans. It's just like, I feel, you know, I don't know. I feel like the Giants fan base, and I'm among them, right? I feel like is pretty stupid, unfortunately. So I know we have a lot of Giants fans that like the show. I'm not saying you specifically are stupid, but I feel like we collectively as a fan base are pretty dumb. Because, oh, Malik Nabers, he's not that good. We don't need him. Drops too many passes. Do you understand how stupid that is? I just want to tell the truth. Like, let's just be honest. If Malik Nabers is right, if he's healthy, he is one of the best wide receivers in the league. Like, he is. He is a true, legitimate wide receiver one, an alpha wide receiver in the NFL. And Malik Nabers, not John Harbaugh, not Arvell Reese, not Brian Burns, not Abdul Carter, not Cam Scadabo and his eight brain cells. You can even make a case, not even really Jackson Dart, although Dart, I guess, would be the ultimate answer to this question, but we're expecting Dart to be healthy as long as he doesn't run headfirst into defenders every other play. The most important player on the Giants this season is Malik Nabers. And if you, out there listening or watching the show, if you wanted to make a case for the New York Football Giants this season to exceed expectations, to make a run towards the postseason, to finally move out of this wilderness that they've been in basically since they beat the Patriots in Super Bowl 46. And I understand a couple trips to the postseason, literally two since then, and did go to the playoffs, year one of Brian Daboll with Daniel Jones, won that wild card game on the road in Minnesota before getting stuffed into a locker, really into a coffin, by Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles. If you wanted to make a case that the New York Football Giants are ready to emerge out of the football wilderness, Malik Nabers has to be a part of it. He just does. He just does. And I think this is an unassailable, inarguable point. I don't think there's a legitimate argument to be constructed to the contrary. If you wanted to construct an argument to the contrary, you would make it, and then you'd be called in front of the Senate for a judiciary hearing, and you'd have to plead the fifth. You'd say, should Malik Nabers play for the New York Football Giants this season? And your response would be, I've been advised by my lawyers to not answer this question. That's what would happen. Malik Nabers has to play this season if the New York Football Giants are going to be good. Let's talk about the pass catchers on this team to really punch this point home. There is a lot of excitement, and I'm excited for it, to the point that in the Scott Fishbowl, which is kind of the kickoff unofficially to fantasy football draft season that thousands of people play in, including media members like me and fantasy football experts, I drafted Isaiah Likely fairly early in a tight end premium draft. I think Isaiah Likely can absolutely have a nice season this year catching the ball for the New York Football Giants. But it is worth noting, Isaiah Likely has never caught more than 42 passes in a single season. Now you might say, well, Mark Andrews is there, right? Okay, maybe. Maybe that has something to do with it. Also, John Harbaugh was the coach in Baltimore when Isaiah Likely was there. I'm not saying Likely can't or won't have a good season, just that it's facts, not in evidence. We've never seen it before. Even if we want to project this going out, that this could do pretty well for Isaiah Likely catching passes from Jackson Dart. The wide receivers. Darius Slayton, who somehow, some way, is still employed by the New York Football Giants. It's not that he's bad. I think he's probably like a league average receiver with above average speed. He's not bad. And if the Giants cut him, he would absolutely get picked up by another team. But he's not a special receiver. And at this point, it feels like three things in life are certain. You're going to die. You got to pay taxes, unless you like to evade them, in which case you're probably going to jail. And Darius Slayton will be a member of the New York Football Giants. Like the nukes will hit, and it'll be cockroaches and Darius Slayton in a Giants jersey. When it's all said and done, the dust has settled and the smoke has cleared. Okay, let's move on from Slayton. Here is Calvin Austin. I'd rather have Stone Cold Steve Austin. What? Than Calvin Austin. Juju Smith-Schuster. What? Darnell, when you get caught between the Mooney and New York City. What? 33-year-old Odell Beckham. What? Like Instagram sensation Braxton Berrios. What? And Notre Dame rookie Malachi Fields, who I actually am a little excited for. Is Jalen Hyatt even still on this team? What a disaster pick that was for Joe Shane. So none of these names, Slayton, Austin, Juju, Mooney, Beckham, Berrios, maybe you want to make an upside case for Malachi Fields. We can make it. Haven't seen him play. Maybe he's awesome. Also, maybe he's not. We have no idea. Think about it. And throw Isaiah Likely into the mix as well. This is not like the 2007 Patriots in terms of pass-catching talent. It's not. And if Nabers isn't in the mix, if he's less than 100%, if he suffers a setback and he can't go, they're screwed. Like, that's it. You don't have a functional offense without this guy. You don't have a guy that you can lean on in the passing game. And what does that mean? There's a trickle-down effect for the rest of the roster, right? Now, the Giants' offensive line, to me, seems to be the best it's been on paper in quite some time. I mean that sincerely. Andrew Thomas, one of the best left tackles in football. You bring back when he's healthy, which is not all the time, sadly. Jermaine Illuminor is going to be at right tackle for at least one more year. Francis Maui-Noah, 10th overall pick in the draft. Like, I actually think the offensive line profiles pretty well this year for the Giants. Like, Cam Scadaboo, I think he's nuts. And I'd like for him to grow up a little bit. And this is where I do sound like a 43-year-old boomer. But you know what? Like, you shattered your leg and you're doing backflips. Like, in what universe is this smart? But Scadaboo did show you something last year. And if he can return to form, and Jackson Dart can give you something here. Like, now we're talking. This is a true functional offense for the New York football Giants. But without Neighbors, I don't think they have much of a passing game. And what do you think that does to the run game? Makes it way, way harder. And then you consider the offensive coordinator and play caller. Former Bears head coach, Matt Nagy, who apparently did such a good job, sarcasm, for the Kansas City Chiefs last year and the last couple years that they literally just, like, let his contract expire and let him bounce. And did, like, a thank you, Coach Nagy tweet. Well, yes, I'm sure they were very thankful for his services in that they didn't try and pick and sign him and make him the offensive coordinator of the team. Instead, they let him walk after his contract expired. Didn't have to fire him, right, because the contract expired, and Eric Bieniemy comes back. Like, hiring Matt Nagy with his background, like, you know what he did in Chicago with the Bears? I know they went to the playoffs a couple times, but you know what? This was not someone that we look at as Bill Walsh, right? To coach this group of misfits on offense for the Giants would be like if you had like a class of troubled teens and brought in an ex-con to teach them. Well, what's happening here? But Malik Nabers is good enough to raise the ceiling of that unit, to make everything else work. Now let's go to the defensive side of the ball. Where the Giants, the defense, I think you can tell yourself a story that this defense could be really, really good this season. Stocked with pass rushers. Abdul Carter, Brian Burns, Kayvon Thibodeau. I'm obsessed with Arvel Reese, the fifth overall pick in the draft. You know I thought the Jets should have taken him over David Bailey at second overall. And I think Arvel Reese's upside is to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. So I like some of these pieces on the Giants defense. The problem is going to be, and I liked the Dexter Lawrence trade. I would make it 100 times over. The Giants are going to have issues stopping the run. And if they can't score enough to get the lead on teams, which they're not going to be able to do more often than not without Neighbors, or if Neighbors isn't healthy, then how are you going to rush the passer? What's going to happen? You need to put teams in passing situations. And I think teams are going to be able to run all over the Giants this year. And yes, that is a negative from the Dexter Lawrence trade. Because the defensive tackles, whether it's Shelby Harris, you know, Darius Alexander, second-year player, I don't think they're going to be, you know, a great run-stopping defensive line. And if they don't have the lead, then Abdul Carter and Brian Burns and Kayvon Thibodeau aren't going to be able to pin their ears back and just get after that ass multiple times a game, every game. And the insinuation for me is not that they'll have zero sacks. Like, these are really talented players, obviously. But in order for the vision to truly be realized here, for these pass rushers to do what they're capable of doing, to unleash Arvel Reese in the way you want to unleash Arvel Reese, you got to score some points. You have to. And if all of these things can happen in concert, yeah, the Giants could win 10 games this year. I think that's probably their upside, is to win 10 games. And maybe you want to, what if Jackson Dart's awesome? It's possible. It's also possible he's bad. We don't know. We have no idea on Jackson Dart. No idea. Maybe the Giants could really exceed expectations this year. It is possible that that's the case. And I, as a Giants fan, am cautiously optimistic for it happening. Even if I am concerned that Jackson Dart seems to be, you know, like, pays more attention to social media and being a star and showing up at the Met Gala with his Instagram model girlfriend and showing up for political events than he is potentially on winning football games. And I'm rooting for him. I want him to be great. And I hope he is. And you can make the case that he'll be good and that the Giants will exceed expectations this year. The only way it happens, the only way, and not the only way, because you could say, you know, what if Andrew Thomas, what if Dark gets hurt? I would say the thing that matters most right now, for the Giants, assuming Thomas stays healthy, Dart stays healthy, etc., is that Malik Nabers is good to go in week one. Because if you get a healthy Malik Nabers this season, I don't know that I would pick the Giants or bet the Giants to make the postseason, but I'd be willing to entertain the conversation with people who do believe it. Because the upside will be there if he's healthy. But if he's not, if there's a setback, if he misses time to start the year, if he's not what he was and it takes him half the season to get there, forget about it. Forget about it. Forget about it. Next offseason, the Giants could potentially acquire another awesome wide receiver pass catcher and lessen the burden on Malik Nabers having to carry the offense. But that's for next year. That's a next free agency and next year's NFL draft conversation. For this year, they need Nabers to be healthy. They need wide receiver one, number one, on the field and ready to go in week one for all of this to work. We're just getting started here on a tremendous Sports Thursday. You better, you bet Westwood One Sports with me, Nick Costos, presented by BetMGM. On the other side, this was, look, yesterday, Wednesday, a crappy day in the National Football League. A bunch of my text message threads with people in the NFL media and friends of mine that love the NFL, we're just kind of like, man, can you believe all these injuries today? Yesterday sucked. A bunch of huge injuries at big positions for certain teams. We'll get to all of them on the other side. We'll talk the Cincinnati Bengals and Shamar Stewart, the New Orleans Saints and Brian Brisee, and the San Francisco 49ers. And it's just meet the new year, same as the old year. Keep it locked right here. You better, you bet.
The Raiders are not going with Fernando Mendoza.
Kirk Cousins is the starting quarterback.
But how long will their first overall pick really be on the sideline? Westwood One Sports.
As a fitness coach, my active psoriatic arthritis can slow me down. With Skyrizi, risankizumab Rizza, I'm treating my skin and joint symptoms so I can keep moving. Skyrizi, a prescription-only injection for adults, helps me move with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue. And for those who have plaque psoriasis, 90% clearer skin is possible. With Skyrizi, there's no daily dosing. It's just four doses a year after two starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing like clearer skin and better movement. And that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi. Visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Drip Drop is doctor-developed, proven fast hydration that helps your body and mind work better. Trusted by firefighters, medical professionals, and over 90% of top college and pro sports teams, Drip Drop is engineered to hydrate faster and more effectively than water alone, with three times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks. Stock up now at DripDrop.com and use promo code RADIO20 for 20% off your first order. That's DripDrop.com, promo code RADIO20 for 20% off your first order. Head to DripDrop.com now and use promo code RADIO20.
When it comes to the best sports talk anywhere,
let's get this show going, man.
Listen to the Fan Upstate on Odyssey no matter where you are. In the car, at home, at work. Download the free Odyssey app on your phone. Search the Fan Upstate and you're in the game.
Hey, now we roll.
The Fan Upstate. And now, the Daily Sports Spin. Powered by Ingles. Low prices, love the savings.
The Braves need to make a move before the August 3rd trade deadline. The question is, how bold of a move do they need to make? We know the Braves need starting pitching. The rotation of Sale, Elder, Holmes, and Johnny Holdstaff is okay, but what happens if one of them gets hurt down the stretch? Then you're in deep trouble. The ultimate question is, do they need to sell the farm to go in for the bell of the ball, Tarek Skubal? He gives the Braves the best chance, but he's a 3-month rental, so So do the Braves do it? Trade 3 years of farm system development for 3 months with Skubal? This may be one of the last chances for this Braves roster. Is avoiding the bold trade giving up on the season? Settling for being the bridesmaid and not the bride? What do you think? I'm Diesel.
Wire to Wire with Diesel and Cole Bryson.
This afternoon, 3 to 7 on The Fan. Upstate. 97.7 FM Greenville. 97.1 FM Spartanburg. And on the Odyssey app.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.